I'm very glad to be here. And I want us to think a little bit tonight about ourselves and the work that God has for us. I don't know, as you consider your own life, I want you to kind of go outside of yourself and look at yourself. Look at your abilities. Look at your strengths. Look at your weaknesses. Did God do a good job of creating you? Or did God kind of leave a few things out that you wish you had? Does God have a purpose for your life? Did He make you specifically capable and able to fulfill His purpose for your life? And is His purpose good enough for you? Or do you think you could come up with a better plan for your life than God has? I want us to look in the book of Nehemiah this evening. And we're going to look at, we're going to start in Nehemiah chapter 4 and kind of center on verse 2, but we'll start out with verse 1. And I want you to kind of see that Nehemiah was an achiever. Nehemiah was a very capable person. But Nehemiah had come to the place where he wanted to lead the children of Israel. He had a burden for the people. This morning in the message, we mentioned Nehemiah and the fact that he interceded on behalf of the children of Israel. He came before God and he said, God, we need the children of Israel to become strong. We need Jerusalem to be built back up again for a testimony. And so Nehemiah took on this task. But one of the things that comes up anytime you want to do something for God, that there are always going to be detractors. There are always going to be someone that's going to try to get you off track, going a different direction. And Satan has been doing that since the beginning of time. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now, if you go down to verse 3, there's another man, Tobiah the Ammonite. And so we have Sanballat and Tobiah, and these men are detractors. These men think that they can stop the work of God. In your life, have you had people that have tried to get you off track? People that have mocked you, laughed at you. People that have told you, you can't do it. Now, one of the things I found at Christian Vocational Ministries is that every once in a while we have a guy, and if I want him to get something done, I'll say, you can't do that. And then they set out to prove me wrong. And sometimes it backfires. But normally I can get them to do the job just by saying, you're not able to do that. But sometimes they're not able to do the job. More often than not, they have the idea, I can do anything. And they set out to do anything and they find out they do nothing. Now, in verse 2, we have the story of Nehemiah. But more than that, we have the story of the children of Israel. Under the leadership of Nehemiah. And Sanballat, verse 2, spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "Who do these feeble Jews, or what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" All right, now, here comes Sanballat. And he's going to do everything that he can. And the first thing that he asks is this. He calls them feeble. And he says, what do these feeble Jews, what are they trying to do? Now, he already knows what they're trying to do. They're trying to rebuild the walls. But he calls them feeble. And more than likely, the Jews at that time felt that they were feeble. They were down and out. They were discouraged. They had not had a leader for years. All of the real leaders had been taken to other countries. And here comes Nehemiah back to Jerusalem, trying to get the people together. And you know, sometimes we don't understand that very often we are feeble. We are lacking in ability. You know, I think of the book of James, and it was brought out in Sunday school this morning. If any of you lack wisdom, do you sometimes lack wisdom? Or do you always have the answers? Usually you don't have the answers, do you? You would like to have them, but you lack the wisdom to do the job. So what do you have to do? If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Let him ask. And who's going to give you the wisdom? It's going to be the Lord. God is going to give you the wisdom that you need. Now, if you lack strength, who do you ask? You ask God to give you the strength to give it, to get through the day. If you lack the finances, what do? You ask the Lord, yes. My God shall supply some of your needs if He decides He wants to. Is that what the Bible says? It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches, not according to your bank account, see? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And one of the things that I think we need, the first premise we need to have is the fact that we are feeble. We are weak. Now, don't get discouraged. Book of 1 Corinthians, and if you'll turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. And one of the things that the people at Corinth had as a problem in their lives is they were puffed up. They thought they had wisdom. They thought they were good. They thought they were very capable. And Paul had to remind them in verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." Excuse me. "And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Now, what God has done is God has looked into the world and you know what? He's brought together this congregation here. And I know that you would like to think we're the greatest. No, you're not. What has God chosen? He's chosen the foolish things. Uh-oh. Why? So he can give the fool wisdom. He's chosen the weak things and the weak people. Why has he chosen weak people? So that he can give them strength. So that they can do a job that is going to astound others. And so here we have a group of feeble Jews. They have been living in Jerusalem for years. And they've been living with these walls that are all torn down. And they haven't done anything because they had no leadership. There weren't any leaders amongst them. But God gave them a leader. And they're beginning to follow that leader. 1 Corinthians 1:29 gives us the reason that God has chosen feeble people to do His work, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, when you and I become proud, and there's a word that the psychologists and even Christian psychologists have used a lot. They say we need to have self-esteem. We need to build self-esteem into our children and our young people so they believe that they can do it. But you know what Jesus Himself said? Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He said, "Blessed are the meek." And those that mourn. And what God has done is God has chosen feeble people, weak people, foolish people. And He said, "All right, now listen. If you will do My work, I will give you everything that you need to fulfill that work. I'll give you what you need. I'll make you capable." And we've been in ministry in Marysvale, Utah for 13 years. It hasn't been us that's done the work. It's been God. It just marvels me what God has done. And yes, we have to participate. We have to cooperate. When God leads, we must take a step and we must follow His leadership. When God provides a Nehemiah, we've got to listen to Him. We've got to follow Him. We've got to obey Him. But God is the one that's going to do the work. Now, I want us to go on in this verse in Nehemiah. In verse 2. And the question is, what do these feeble Jews? Now, there are going to be a list of questions here. The next question: will they fortify themselves? Are they going to, let's put it this way in the New Testament terms, are they going to put on the armor of God? Are you familiar with that passage in Ephesians chapter 6 where it talks about putting on the whole armor of God? Are they going to put on the armor of God? Are they going to fortify themselves? Now, here in this passage, the fort is going to be built upon the walls of Jerusalem. Are they going to build these walls to protect their families from the onslaughts of the enemies? Or are they just going to submit themselves to their enemies continually? Will they fortify themselves? Are they going to be satisfied with the status quo? You know, we have the idea of things, you know, what is. And so we just have to submit ourselves to the things that are around us. Are they going to fortify themselves? Are you going to do something about it? Are you going to participate? Now, Sanballat and Tobiah had the idea, they're not going to do it. We can just stop them right dead in their tracks just by laughing at them. That's all we got to do. Will they fortify themselves? Now, Sanballat thinks, no, they're not going to fortify themselves. And then he asks this, will they sacrifice? You know, any battle worth fighting is going to cost you. When's the last war that America fought in where the goal was to win? We don't hear that word win anymore, do we? All we do is we want to withdraw and say it's even Steven. And what happens is we enter into a conflict when we are not willing to count the cost. And when the cost gets too great, we back down. Now, we're Christians. We have been given a task. That task is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? You're going to have a missions conference next week. That's exciting. You're going to be challenged with the need of missions around the world. And you're going to be thinking, man, we need to get behind our missionaries. And I dare say they're going to present some things to you. They're going to present some needs to you that will help to accomplish this purpose of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Now, will you sacrifice? How much will you sacrifice? Will you go on and continue in this life of sacrifice as long as it takes? You know, I think, man, it would be nice to retire. My wife really wants to retire. She works harder than I do. But we are not called to retire, are we? There's no retirement in God's service. And as Sanballat looks at the Jews, he sees people that have been satisfied with everything torn down and no progress at all, and the enemy comes in and steals all of their grain and all of the products that they have, and so they put in a garden next year, and the enemy comes in and takes it again. They have no walls to protect them. Well, are they going to fortify themselves? No. Are they going to be willing to sacrifice? You know, maybe they'll get into this war, and maybe they'll start building these walls, but I dare say by the time they get them up 3 or 4 feet, they're going to quit. And the question is, will you sacrifice? I mean, really, really sacrifice. I just did a study in the Sermon on the Mount. And you know what Jesus Christ said you should be satisfied with? He said, having food and raiment, you should be satisfied. You don't need any more than that. Now, I know a Ferrari in the garage would look nice. I know that one of those around here, I don't know what you can buy for $500,000. Let's say $1 million apartment. having one of those. That would be mighty nice, isn't it? You don't need a $1 million apartment, do you? And when it comes down to it, the question is, for the cause of Christ, are you willing to sacrifice? Will they sacrifice? Then another question. Will they make an end in a day? Are they going to finish the job? Now, I find that the hardest part of any project is finishing the job. And when we do a kitchen for somebody's house, we get most of the cabinets in and everything, and then we get what we call a punch list. And we go through everything and every detail. Well, there's a nail that needs to be filled. There's a piece of molding that's crooked. We need to take that down and we need to put it in correctly. And you know, the hardest time in any project is when it comes to the very end, because you want to be done. You want the paycheck, right? And one of the things I've had to do is I write in the contract, I don't get the last third of my paycheck until they are satisfied. Do you know what that does? That motivates me to finish the job. Right? And when you and I are working and serving the Lord, we need to finish the job. Don't just start. You will never run a race and win a race if you start it and quit in the middle. You don't win that way. You've got to complete the course, don't you? I like what Paul the Apostle said. I have fought a good fight. I have what? Finished my course. I have kept the faith. How long do we have to run? As long as we have legs. Be thankful you have legs, right? And have you noticed that some of these men that have gone to war do not have legs and yet they get around because they want to? Will they make an end in a day? And then the question, will they revive the stones? Now, the stones have been there on the ground for years. The only thing is that they've been a pile of rubble. They've already been carved. They were already part of a wall that was strong, but the enemy had torn down the wall. And they had to do something. Are they going to pick up those stones and are they going to build them into a wall again? Now, they would be better if they could go out to a quarry and get new stones, but they don't have that ability. They're going to have to take what is there. Will they revive the stones? Are they going to restore the walls? Chapter 4, verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. And I like this statement. It should be the motto of your life. For the people had a mind to work. Now, catch this. The people are feeble. They're feeble. They have been without leadership. They have... Yeah, you know, they've just gone from day to day to day. But when they were challenged by Nehemiah, they decided as a group of people, they have a mind to work. Uh, Do you have a mind to work? I'd like to challenge you to read the book of Nehemiah. Because in the book of Nehemiah, you're going to find out that all different groups in Jerusalem and the surrounding area, they came together and they built their own section of wall, and this section was built, and this section was built, and this section was built, and this gate was built, and this section was built, all the way around. They had a mind to work. And the wall was joined together. Now, go down to verse 9. And what you see is the enemy has been attacking them. The enemy has been around. The enemy has been trying to stop them from every means or by every means. And in verse 9 it says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God." I like the word "we." We is better than you, huh? We has the idea that Nehemiah is participating. He's not just giving orders. He's not just telling everybody what to do. He's in there with everybody else. And what is happening is the people are not depending on their weakness. They are praying to God. Because they are seeing that God is the answer. Now, I'd like to challenge you as a group, as a church, as a people that are called together and called out of the world. I'd like to challenge you to work together. Determine what God wants you to do. Follow the leadership that God gives. Have a mind to work. And when it gets difficult, what do? You pray. You pray. We made our prayer unto God. Now, after they made their prayer, they set a watch. In other words, the enemy is out there. The enemy is trying to stop us. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have some people watching for the enemy while others are setting their stones, mixing the mortar. See? Half are watching and half are working. And you can believe that the wives were home praying for the safety and for the completion of the job. It's interesting that Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he tell the disciples? Watch and pray. What are you and I to do today? Watch and pray. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we need to be diligent day and night as we work. Nehemiah 4:21. So we labored in the work. And again, notice the "we." And then look at the word "labored." It's not easy. Some of these men had probably never done stonework before. And I'll tell you what, stones are heavy. And if you find something else out, and I doubt that they had gloves. I kind of laugh at the men that come to CVM because they've got lily white hands. And there are no calluses on their hands. And I tell you what, when you pick up stones, you find out that stones are just like sandpaper. And if you don't have a strong grip on it, your hands get Boy, they get blisters real fast, don't they? What did they do? They labored. Some of them probably had never sweat in their lives. But here they did. And they labored in the work. Chapter 6, verse 15. And we're going to close with that. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month. And it was finished in 52 days. Amazing. Who finished the wall? Feeble Jews. Do you know what God can do through this congregation? And I understand there are other congregations in this city. But I tell you what, you've got a lot of people here. I wish you could come to Marysvale sometime. See our big city. 375 people. You could. How many buildings in this city do you have that have more people living in them than what we have in our whole town? I mean, they're all over the place, aren't they? Do you know what a task God has given you in reaching these people for the Lord? What a huge, enormous, and we would say impossible task. But you know what? If every single one of you, and whether you consider yourself feeble or not, consider yourself strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See? You may be feeble. Accept that fact. You don't have to think you're great to do great work. Did you catch that? Because often it is not great people that do the greatest work. And let me tell you something else. And I, you know, there's a lot of older people here. You older people need to understand something. Some of the greatest things in history have been accomplished by old people. Yes. How old was Moses when he led the children out of Israel, out of Egypt? How old was he? He was 80. 80 years of age. He was an old man. 80 isn't old, is it? I'm sorry. I apologize. But understand something. Age does not have anything to do with what we accomplish with God. Young people, how old was David when he slew Goliath? Well, we don't really know, but I'm going to guess that he was probably in his early teens. At the latest, in his late teens. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Young people, old people, in-between people. But I'll tell you something, as you look through the Scriptures, one of the things you will find is that people that are called while they're working. They're called while they're working. Look at the story of Gideon. Was he working when he was called? Look at the story of David. Go through the Scriptures and see. Even the publican Matthew was working when he was called, wasn't he? Peter was called when he was working. Get to work and be faithful. Have a mind to work. And finish the job that God has given you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank You and we praise You for the privilege of being Your children. Lord, help us to see the calling that You have for us. And then, Lord, give us the desire to fulfill that calling. Lord, help us that we might be faithful to the very end in doing the work that You have for us. And how we pray that the work that is accomplished might truly bring honor and glory to Your name. Lord, thank You for this church, this congregation, for all of these people. And how we pray that You would just bless them and use them in Your service. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to take your hymnals out and turn to number 365. And as we sing the song, Trust and Obey, two things. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge or obey Him, and He shall direct your paths. Is God trustworthy? Yes, He is. Will God fulfill every promise? Yes, He will. Trust Him. Obey Him. To a T. When God says jump, what should your response be? How high? Yeah, how high do you want me to jump? I mean, there's no question I'm going to jump. Lord, just, I mean, and you know what He'll say? Jump as high as you can. Do the best that you can.